Good morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning as we gather in the Lord's house. We just pray that as you worship with us here in person or in the parking lot or on the website later, that God will speak to you and to your dearest and deepest needs. You know, he can minister to us on every level. Wherever we are, the Lord can meet our needs. It's good to be in the Lord's house. May we pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for opportunity to come and worship. Thank you for every blessing that we have because of you. Thank you for your marvelous love for us. And Lord, as Brenda just played, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Lord, may we radiate Jesus to all that we know. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, it's obvious that Leonard isn't here, but we appreciate Kathy leading the music today. And I'll also be doing the announcements. This being the first Sunday of the month, birthday Sunday. So let me see how many of these I've got right. William High, March the 7th. Shirley Morton, March the 14th. Rosina Tucker, March the 16th. Bertie Hatley, March the 19th. Wesley Barbie, March the 19th. Jeremy Barbie, March the 21st. Carol Kelly, March the 23rd. And Michael Barbie, March 24th. Wow. Looks like with us it was either May or November. So it looks like all the Barbies had decided to come in March. Did I miss anybody? All right, I don't have any anniversaries for March. Is there anybody that's got a March anniversary that I don't? All right, so Kathy's going to lead us in the song.
Okay, Brenda, give us a key. Okay.
Happy birthday to you.
All right, if you guys will stand with me, we're going to turn to page 16 in your hymnals, or it'll be on the walls behind us. But we're going to start off with "O Worship the King."
Again, we do welcome you. I'm glad to have Pamela's sister Jill here. Some of y'all went to school with her and her husband David slip in for us. You know, let's see, Jill and Pamela sang a duet last time you were here. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Just happened to think of something. Several of you have told me you've gotten a friend request from Pamela on Facebook. She loves Facebook, but I don't think Verizon reaches that far. So if you got a friend request, she got hacked. Now, hopefully I'm going to get that deleted this week, but I don't do Facebook, so I'm going to get help to get it deleted. So, but I just don't think Verizon. Now, I wouldn't put it past her to try to talk the Lord into trying to let her keep up, because she so enjoyed talking with you folks on Facebook and posting things and reading things that you posted. So she may have tried to talk the Lord into it, but anyway. Just remind you, next Sunday morning, Baptist Men's Day, breakfast at 7:30. Which
still got 7 a.m. It's
7:30. All right. And
what's the matter?
We just had a pancake and bacon.
Yep.
A little breakfast.
Unfortunately, that's really going to be 6:30 this morning's time, because time changed next Sunday morning.
See, I probably got it right anyway.
So, even if you're not coming to breakfast, be sure and set your clocks, because it's so embarrassing whenever you drive up and everybody else is walking out the door, getting in their car, leaving. So keep that in mind. Also, just remember Wednesday night Bible study. You're all welcome to come and be a part of that. I know we've got a good core group that comes at almost every week that they're physically able, but others of you are invited to come and see what we're doing on Wednesday night. Usually we're done in about 45 minutes, depending on how the discussion goes, what kind of questions I get that are close and how many are off the wall, but but we have a good time. Any other announcements I need to make? Remember, we'll have a couple of minutes for a church conference after the service today. Prayer request, there's a long list on the back of the bulletin. Is there any others that you want to add to the prayer request list today? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Maybe pray. Father, we're encouraged by the fact that we read so often in the New Testament these words, and Jesus had compassion upon them. Lord, we thank you that Jesus had compassion on the sick, the hurting, the unsaved, Lord, we thank you that he cares. And so, Father, we thank you that we can lift up to you each of these who are on the prayer list and the one that's been added, plus all that we might have thought of in our minds but didn't feel free, or maybe didn't, for some other reason, didn't bring them up. But Father, I thank you. I thank you that Jesus cares. And Father, as we put these into your hands, out of your love and your mercy, your grace, we pray for restoration of health. We pray for comfort and encouragement. We pray that caregivers might have patience, might have strength, that where decisions have to be made about nursing homes and other types of care, that wisdom will be given. And Father, even now we know that there's some that would ordinarily be here in the service that they're home because there's sickness in the family. And we lift these up to you as well. May at this very moment, whether they're sleeping or maybe watching TV or quietly reading or playing, may they experience just a touch from you that says, Jesus loves me. Father, as we sing, as we pray, as we study your word, may the Spirit of the living God speak to our hearts. Lord, give us spiritual ears to hear. Really give us spiritual ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our song of praise today is There's Something About That Name. It's one of my most favorite songs because no matter whether you're going through periods of happiness, sadness, concern, Jesus' name is always there, and this is one of those songs that I just sing no matter what. So if you guys will join me in singing, we're going to sing it twice through. It's on page 177, or it will be on the wall. So if y'all will stand with me, please.
There's just something about
I think all the little ones are sick or home with sick little ones. Anybody need to leave for children's church? All right. Yeah, I know how it is. Whenever they're little, when one gets it, the other gets it. I used to accuse my doctor. My doctor's office was closer than from here to the old parsonage when my kids were little, and I used to accuse him of going to the back door and throwing strep germs out the back door. I said, every time you think I got an extra $5, which is what it cost to go to the doctors that many years ago, you think Ed's got an extra $5, I'll throw some strep germs out there and his kids will get it. And sure enough, they got it. There's some truths that are so simple that we may almost miss them. And yet they're so important. They're important for life, but more importantly, they're important for eternity. And I want us to look at one of those this morning. Very, very simple truth. But it needs to be embedded in our minds and in our hearts and in our witness to our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers. Turn with me to 1 John, the Epistle of John, chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Start at verse 10. 1 John 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now notice some things that he says in that passage. First he says, or implies, some folks believe in Jesus as the Son of God and some folks don't. Some folks believe that God gave us his Son Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, our Messiah, and some folks don't. That's a choice that everybody that hears has to make. Will I believe or won't I believe? And he also says that those who believe have an internal witness, that they have the Son of God as their Lord and their Savior. Paul says in Romans, he that hath not the Spirit doesn't have the life. There's an internal witness. There's something inside of us, not something, someone inside of us that says, you are a child of God. You do know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He also says that in here that eternal life is through Jesus. Right there in verse 11, God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He says eternal life is through Jesus. But the point I want us to make and really, really hammer home today is this. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This isn't good English, but I think you'll remember it. You got Jesus, you got life. You don't got Jesus, you don't got life. It's that simple. Those who have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior have eternal life. Those who don't have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior don't have eternal life. It's that simple. And that eternal life, most of the time we think, long life. Well, long is in eternity, yes. But the word is zoe, which means the God type of life. the God quality of life, the powerful type of life, the pure type of life, the holy type of life, the type of life that exemplifies God. You know, when God created Adam, it says he breathed into him life, and then he lost it. And to get it back, we've got to have Jesus. Those that have Jesus as their Lord and Savior have eternal life. Those who don't have no eternal life. They're lost. Now, why is this important? You think about the people that you know. You think about the things you read in the paper and on Facebook and everywhere else. There's some folks that believe that Jesus never existed, that he was just a made-up character. There's some folks that believe that Jesus was, yeah, he existed, but he was just a man, like all the rest of us, that there is no virgin birth, there is no specialness about him. He's just somebody in a sort of a myth of Christianity grew up around him and spread, but that's all they believe. Some folks believe that Jesus was a great teacher. But that's all he was. Some folks believe he was an important religious leader. But that still doesn't mean that they have Jesus. There are denominations, and if I interpret it correctly, there's one of those that knock on your door regularly, or used to. They believe Jesus is down here. He's not really the Son of God. He's not really the Son of God. He's not really the Messiah. He was a good man. But folks, if we don't have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we don't have eternal life. He's more than just a man. Notice, it doesn't say those that have church membership. Church membership's good to have. Being fellowship, having a fellowship in the church is great. But folks, having your name on the church roll just means your name's on the church roll. If you don't, in my colloquialism, if you don't got Jesus, it don't matter how many churches you're on the roll. It doesn't say those that have been baptized. Now, baptism is an important article of our faith, and we need to be baptized. Jesus tells us to be baptized. His disciples baptized. It's a part of our commitment of saying, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But there are folks that go through the baptistry, and they go down lost. They get up, and they're wet, but they're still lost. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say he that hath done good works. Or it doesn't say he that has done had life's rights administered to him or her. It says, do we have Jesus? Do we really have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior? John says, I want you to get this truth. If you have Jesus, you have eternal, the God type of life, and you're going to live with the Lord in heaven forever. If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to heaven. It's that simple. And you know, and I know that as we interact with people around the world, in our sphere of influence, whether it's in the family or whether it's on the job or wherever, so many folks have a misguided thought about what it means to be a Christian. And there are those that think, you know I do some bad, but if I can do enough good over here to outweigh the bad, I'm good to go. No. You can't do enough good to outweigh the bad. It comes down to this. We have to know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. What does it mean to really know Jesus? Turn with me over to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 16. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Notice some things here. One, Jesus questioned the disciples about what were people saying about him. And they said, "Well, some people think you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Elisha or Jeremiah, one of the other prophets." But then Jesus pinned it down. "But what's in your heart?" And Peter, of course, usually he's the first one to say anything, and he pops up and says, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus said a couple of things to him. One, "That was revealed to you by my Father from heaven. You didn't think that up on your own. It was Spirit revealed." And folks, remember the scripture that says, nobody comes unto the Father except that the Spirit draw him. The Holy Spirit draws us to salvation. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit creates in our heart a desire for salvation. That thirst that Rita always gets into my sermons every time she teaches Sunday school. I don't know how she does it, but she does. But that thirst, and a theologian of almost 2,000 years ago said, God creates us with a God-sized hole and only God can fill it. There's a place in our heart, and you know, and I know, people chase drugs, they chase, well, wine, women, and song, all kinds of things, trying to fill that God-shaped hole, and it doesn't work until they get Jesus in that place. We can try everything that the world has to offer, but there's still a thirst, there's still an emptiness, there's still a vacant place in a man's soul that only Jesus can fill. And the Spirit draws us to Jesus. Jesus says to Peter, "The Holy Spirit, the Father in heaven revealed this to you. And he revealed to you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And notice that not only was it something that was revealed, Peter boldly proclaimed it. He just blurted it out. There's no hesitation. There's no back and forth wavering. He says, "I know. I know that you are the Christ. I know that you're the Messiah. I know that you're the Son of the living God." In doing that, Peter was saying, I'm aware of who you are, Jesus, and you are who you are for me. Now, I think, I don't know whether before this, but at least at this point, going back to 1 John, Peter has Jesus. From then on, if Peter had died at any moment, he was on his way to glory. because Jesus was a vital part of his life. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 10, and we'll see how basically Peter's confession is what Paul says we need to do. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You see what Paul's saying? Same thing as Peter's confession. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We proclaim him as the Son of God. We proclaim him as the Savior. We proclaim him as our personal Lord and Savior. And we have eternal life. It all comes down to what we believe and what we say about Jesus. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And that is so important for us to get across to people who are dallying with religion. I remember many, many years ago sharing with a young guy about his need for Jesus. And, you know, to question him about what he believed. And he made this, as I remember it, this is what he said to me. He said, well, I'm not ready to decide yet. But when I get ready to decide, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to study all the world's great religions and decide which one I like best. And that's what I'm going to become. So in his mind, Buddhism and Confucianism and Islam and Christianity and everything else was all open to a choice. Folks, that's a guarantee of hell. Just, we don't choose. He chooses us and we say yes. He opens his heart to us. Now, the Bible tells us it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. So I know that the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and draws us. But then we have to say yes. We have to agree, yes, I want Jesus Christ to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to invite him into my heart. I want to invite him into my life. And as we share and as we witness, we need to gently, lovingly, sweetly, kindly let folks know that if they don't have Jesus, whatever else they have doesn't matter if they want eternal life. It doesn't matter how many good deeds they do. It doesn't how many churches they belong to. It doesn't matter what else they say or how many sins they avoid. It comes down to that one fact. Do we have Jesus? Do we have Jesus? You know, I know at one time Billy Graham said probably 75% of church members were lost. Stephen Olford, who you may or may not have ever heard of, a great, great, great Baptist preacher from, I think he was from South Africa, but he immigrated to the United States. Preached with a British accent. Loved to hear him preach. Said the same thing. that folks have church membership. They have culture. You know, mama was a Christian, daddy was a Christian, so I'm a Christian. What personally do we have? Do we have Jesus? Does he live within? And you know, over a period of time, you can begin to sense it. We're not to be judgmental, but we can be fruit inspectors. And you begin to see Jesus just radiating from people's lives. And then you see others that proclaim Jesus. And you wonder, well, if he's there, he's way down some little closet. The thing I wrote in the newsletter about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it's so very true. There are people that proclaim to be Christian that bless the church more by their absent Sundays than they do by their present Sundays. Because when they come in, there's this little cloud of storm over their head and they create turmoil. And that's sad. Our presence with other Christians ought to bring joy, ought to bring a bonding. And that's one of the things about that I've enjoyed over the years, going overseas to mission trips and other places where other churches, is that you can be a Christian and you can walk in and there's an instant bond with people that you never met. You've never seen them before, but in 10 minutes, you love them because they're a brother or their sister in the Lord. I don't cry a lot, but once in a while I still get teary-eyed about the people that I met on the first trip I went to Brazil. I cried the whole 14-hour plane trip home. You know, those were so precious people. They spoke Portuguese and I spoke English. And this much Portuguese, because it was enough like French that I could catch some of it. But, man, I love those people. Knowing now that 20-something years have passed, they probably a lot of them are in glory now. But there's when the Jesus in me and the Jesus in you respond to one another, it's special. Again, I come back to the one simple little truth. If we have Jesus, we have eternal life. We have God living within us. If we don't have Jesus, membership or baptism or anything else doesn't matter. May that truth resonate with your thoughts this week. Be thankful that you have Jesus. Be thankful that the Spirit of God encourages you within. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you that you live within me. And for some of you, Jesus has been a part of your life for 50, 60, 70 years. Thank God for that. However long it's been, thank God for the presence of Jesus. If you got Jesus, you have eternal life. You don't have Jesus, don't have eternal life. It's so simple. But whether we go to heaven or hell depends on our answer to that question. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to just step out and come down the aisle this very minute. And I'll meet you here and we'll talk about your need for salvation. Most of you, probably all of you here of age, are believers. And there's no doubt in your mind or in your heart that you have Jesus. But do you know somebody that you think that you're convicted by the Holy Spirit that they're deceived? They think because they're religious or because they're a part of a certain church or denomination that they're going to heaven. Would you just pray for them right now? Pray for them by name. Lord, my friend, my relative is deceived. And Lord, I know it's not your will that they perish. So Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring them under conviction. I pray that the Holy Spirit will draw them to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open their eyes. I pray, Father, that they will come to realize who Jesus is. King of kings, Lord of lords, Master, Savior, Son of God. And Lord, I pray that they will invite Jesus to be their personal Lord and Savior before it's too late. Father, thank you. You so loved us that you sent your Son to die for us and to give us eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll take just a couple of minutes to conduct some church business. And is Rita or Grant going to present it?